Thank you, Lord, for this message. I pray that it reaches the hearers' ears, so they that have ears can hear. And I pray that you would bless the hearers when it comes to honestly applying these things to our lives. And bless the rest of the week. And let us be the children that we're supposed to be in your eyes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we've reached the fourth and last installment of Remembering the Lord. And the last installment is called Praise as a title. Now, just to remind you of the text, which is Psalm 63, 5 and 6. Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6. The psalm states, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches." As our study on Psalm 63, 5 and 6 is coming to a close, we must realize that the principles in this particular verse are principles of life, or life principles. David wrote in Psalms 119, 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In other words, the words in the scriptures are principles of life for the believer. If we're going to call ourselves believers, then we must think, speak, and act like one. This is not to say that we are perfect and don't screw up from time to time, but we must continue on the straight and narrow, not to stay saved, but because we recognize the sacrifice from the one who saved us, and as an act of personal sacrifice, we devote our life or manner of being to his words, his thoughts, and his precepts. Now, what makes this an act of personal sacrifice is the fact that we're in the flesh. We are in the flesh, and therefore we are weak. We are tempted. We fall to temptation sometimes. And if you can't admit that to yourself, you're lying to yourself, and you can never grow in the Lord. See, the first step in growth with the Lord is to admit that even after salvation, you're still a sinner, and you will fall, and you will make errors, and you will sin. But the thing is not to give up, not to give up, and to ask the Lord for forgiveness. So what makes it a personal sacrifice trying to follow the Lord? Well, it's because we're in our flesh, and the Bible says, "In our flesh dwelleth no good thing." It's always warring against the spirit. It's a fight. It's a fight. It's a spiritual fight. The flesh wants what it wants. The spirit says, "Listen, man, your life and your eternal life will be better if you do it this way." So the flesh says, "No." I think, and that's the first step to destruction. So that's what makes it a personal sacrifice. The fact that we have to war against the flesh all the time in order to fulfill even the least of the verses in the Bible. I mean, when we come to salvation, it's for some people it's a struggle. For some people it's a long process. I know for me, people were trying to communicate with me on the bus, and I used to find tracks on the floor, and eventually I worked at a place where where a King James Bible believer worked in a reception hall as a waiter, and that's how I got saved. That was my journey to getting saved. I mean, I remember seeing televangelists on the Bible, and I knew, even though I came from a Catholic background, I knew they were lying. I knew it. In my spirit of man, I knew it. They were lying. As a child. And I knew those televangelists, you know, not like today, but at least some of them had the salvation message. Not like today. Not like today, all this positive thinking garbage. And I knew there was something there. I just couldn't, it just wasn't clear. They weren't presenting it clear enough so I can get saved. until someone who believed the King James Bible showed it to me, answered my questions, plain and simple, and I got saved 22 years ago. Why do I call it a personal sacrifice to follow the Lord, to stay on the straight and narrow? Because it goes against your very being, your very nature, your human nature. You're asked to be spiritual when you're carnal. It's a contradiction of terms. And the only light we have to be spiritual is the Bible. And if we stay away from the scriptures, then we're yet carnal. I mean, just ask the Corinthian church. Paul didn't have to tell me they weren't believing the scriptures. They didn't have to tell me they weren't reading the scriptures. Because they behaved as if they weren't. So I know when I get off track, that's why. Because I'm too busy and I put spiritual things on the side. And I put the carnal things first, whatever they are, work, this, that, the other. And that's when I get off track. And you don't even notice it until you're so far off track that it takes a great deal to come back. So if you're too busy for God, then you're too busy. We seem to put exclamation points on things that are not important, when we should be putting exclamation points on spiritual things, on things relating to the scriptures, relating to God. So we devote our life and manner of being to His words, His thoughts, and His precepts. A child does not stop being a child just because he or she was caught with his or her hand in the cookie jar every once in a while. This is what forgiveness is for. If you were perfect, if you were sinless, you wouldn't need Christ. Okay, so stop feeling bad for being bad. And let's build a relationship with the Lord. It's not about feeling guilty, it's about building a relationship with the Lord. When you do something wrong, your mother doesn't stop being your mother. Your father doesn't stop being your father. Okay? You may get punished. You may get judged. You may get whatever the consequences are to that act. But it doesn't negate the fact that they're still your parents. Right? And God is the same way. God gave you. God works the same way. He structured the world in the same pattern where we can relate to him, or he can relate to us in a familiar way. So his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The key to a great relationship with the Lord is humility towards him in his direction. So if your humility is false, how are you better than some pious Catholic? If your humility is plastic or fake, how are you better than some politician? You may be able to fool others. You know, you put your suit on, your tie on, and you know, you raise your hand up and you praise the Lord and you help in the church and all that stuff. All that work. But you have to remember that God searches the hearts and tries the reins. But it's never too late. So you have to stop pretending to be born again, saved, bought by the blood, and start devoting your real life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And let the Holy Spirit guide you into all truth, because His word is truth. His word is truth. So just to summarize what we've learned so far. Remembering the Lord was the main title, but the first part was actually called remembering. The second part was called meditating. The third part was called being satisfied or satisfied. And this fourth part, the last piece of the puzzle, it's not the least, but the last, is praise.